Amen. What a blessing. I couldn't help but think while they were singing about that song, He Knows My Name. Amen. Thank God. It's good that I know who He is, but it's better He knows who I am. Amen. Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 3. Pray for me. This pollen is just about to kill me. I've taken allergy medicine, Tylenol, Advil, NyQuil, DayQuil, every kind of quill they got, and it just still is just beating the fire out of me. So I feel like I've swallowed a frog and he crossed his legs. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. I'm going to preach a message this morning that I preached years ago, and something happened this week. Hadn't thought about this in years, and something happened this week that made me think about this message. I preached this message here, I don't know, probably 10, 15 years ago on questions. And I presented the message this way, who asked the most questions in the Bible? Anybody know? Who asked the most questions in the Bible? God does. God asked more questions than anybody in the Bible. Job did. Job's probably a close second. They may be almost tied there, but God asked the most questions. And it amazes me why God would ask a question when He already knows the answer. Can you tell me anything God doesn't know? The only thing I know of, He doesn't know a sinner He cannot save. Amen. God knows the answer to every question that He asks. Sometimes when God asks us a question, He knows the answer, but He wants us to think a little bit. So I'm going to ask you to do something you're not used to. I want you to think a little bit this morning. When Levi was a kid, that's my son right here behind me, he asked more questions than anybody who ever lived. I mean, I'm telling you, he beat God and Job put together. I mean, I called him Question Mark. That was his name, Question Mark. I mean, every word out of his mouth was in the form of a question. And I'd try to give him honest answers. And one day, he was standing in the seat of my truck. This was before the seatbelt laws, back before communism took over. He was standing. Man, what is living if you can't stand in your daddy's pickup truck front seat? Amen. But he was standing in the truck seat and he was asking me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just answering, you know, I ain't even giving thought to the answer. And I turned around and I looked at him. I said, son, why do you ask so many questions? And his answer was profound. He said, because me don't know. So every time he asked a question after that, I put a little more thought into it. Because he didn't know. Now his mama would lie to him. She would make up junk. He was fascinated with road signs. And when we lived in Dallas, you turn right on Buck Cannon Highway, headed into Dallas, you know, the hospital where it used to be in Dallas. Right as you pulled out on Buck Cannon Highway, there was a blue sign with an H with an arrow pointing straight ahead. Levi said, Mama, what's that sign mean? She said, it's that way to heaven. And I won't tell you what she told him the no parking sign was. It's a P with a cross through it. Some of y'all are so slow. But she would lie to him. She'd tell him all kind of stuff. She'd make up crazy things. That's what's wrong with him now. That's why he's so confused. He don't know whether he's coming or going. That no U-turn sign, she told him that means we got to turn around. I mean, she'd just make up all kind of lie to the boy, lie to him straight up. I'd try to tell him honest. And then sometimes he would ask profound questions that you just go, ask your mama. Let her lie to you, amen. Ask me again when you're 30, amen. But I had to pick up Jonah, our middle grandson. Jonah's four, five. Jonah's 5 years old. I picked him up from his pre-K or pre-kindergarten, whatever it is, daycare, it's something, school. Hey, at school, that's what he calls it, amen. I picked him up from school the other day, and I put him in the back seat, put him in his car seat, and got him strapped in. And as soon as I shut my door, Brother William, he set in. Question after question after question after question after question after question. I mean, just on and on. Papa what? Papa why? Papa where? Papa, 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 papa. and it reminded me of this message. So I'm going to preach to you this morning on questions. On questions that God asked that we must answer. I cannot stand to ask somebody a question and them not answer me. If I ask you a question, I require an answer. If I look at Brother Freddie this morning and I say, Brother Freddie, how are you feeling? And he turns around and walks away, I'm going to throw a songbook at him. I'm going to say, hey man, I ask you a question, how are you feeling? Either well or bad, good or poorly, one or the other. It requires an answer. You ever ask a kid a question and they just... Especially if they're playing a video game. Oh yeah, they have that selective hearing. Tanner Dunlop, my Stephanie's my cousin, that we're so close, it's like my nephews. But anyway, he was at the house when he was little. And he was playing, Levi was still at home then, and Levi had a Xbox, games, whatever it was, PlayStation, I think is what it was. And Tanner was playing that PlayStation. And supper was ready, and I walked into the door of the bedroom, I said, Tanner. I ain't in the world. Tanner. He's still trying to get to the next level. And I'm like, buddy, you need to come way up. And I had this bright idea. I said, ice cream. And Tanner said, huh? When God asks a question, he requires of us an answer. So when that question is asked, we need to stop and think about it before we answer. Some thought must go into it. I want to look at the very first question in the Bible. The very first question in the Bible is a question from God to man, God's first human being, Adam. You know the story. Adam and Eve had taken the forbidden fruit. They had sinned. And when they sinned, it was revealed to them that they were naked and they went and hid. Did you know you cannot hide from God? Do you understand that? You cannot hide behind church membership. You cannot hide behind baptism. You can't hide from God. But Adam and Eve, they're in the garden and they're hid from God. They've sewed fig leaves and they've made themselves aprons. In verse number 8 of Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Here's the question. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, say it with me, where art thou? Adam, where you at? Now you reason with me for a minute. God came to where they were and asked the question, where art thou? Now, it'd be kind of stupid for me to come over here to Brother Charles and say, Brother Charles, where are you? I know where he's at. I'm looking at him. Now, reason with me. Do you think for one second God don't know where Adam is? Come on, talk to me. He knows exactly where he's at. I don't think this is a geographical question. I think it is a spiritual question. God asked Adam right to his face, where are you? Adam, yesterday you and I were like this. Adam, yesterday you couldn't wait for me to come walk with you in the cool of the day. Adam, yesterday you and I had perfect peace and fellowship one with another. Where are we today? You ever have your wife ask you that question, are we okay? And you don't know what to say. Come on, talk to me. We get on that marriage thing a little bit. Yeah. Are we okay? That's what God's asking Adam. Adam, what's the matter, bud? Are we all right? He knows the answer. God knows exactly where he's at, but he needs Adam to realize where he's at. And I want to ask you the same question this morning. Pretend God is asking you this question. Where art thou? Where are you spiritually? I can't be your judge. I look and I see a suit and a tie and a King James Bible and a big Sunday morning grin on your face, but I don't know where you are spiritually. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I can look at your face and tell whether you're not you're right with God. He's more spiritual than me. Now, I can tell when something's wrong. But where you are spiritually, I can't look at Bo and say, Bo is so spiritual. Why? Because Bo can fool me. Bo could have been dog drunk last night. We all right? He could have closed the bar down last night. I ain't got a clue. I just see him on Sunday morning. I don't know where he's at spiritually, but I know where I am spiritually. And you know where you are spiritually. Unless you've been lying to yourself till you believe it. I can convince myself I'm all right. Just like in that message Monday night, I can't get away from that thing. It's still beating me to death. And if it's not beating any of you men to death, you need to get that CD and listen to it over and over until you get it. If somebody had asked me last week, where do you put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 as a husband? I'd have said 12. I ain't kidding, man. I'm serious heart attack. I'd have said, I'm your example. I'm the one to follow. I wash dishes. I wash my own clothes. I clean house. That ain't scriptural, Brother Freddie said. Seriously, I'm good to my wife. I dote over her like crazy. But my problem was I was comparing myself to other men. But when I found out Monday night that I'm supposed to be as a husband comparing myself to Jesus, I went way down on that list. I went from 12 to minus 12. But the problem is, I've got to be honest with myself. To improve where I am spiritually, I've got to be honest about where I am. Adam, where are you? We hiding. Why are you hiding, Adam? We naked. How'd you know you was naked? That woman you gave me. Isn't that what he said? Started making excuses for your sin. Anybody in that category with me? Where are you spiritually? Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you born again? If you died today, would heaven be your home? Where are you spiritually on a scale from 0 to 10? Where are you at? If you're not saved, you're 0. According to Ephesians chapter number 2, you're a walking dead man. We're dead in our trespasses and our sin. Spiritually, you're not even alive. Where are you spiritually? Could you honestly answer that question in your mind right now? I mean, be honest with yourself. Where am I at? Let me ask you this. Are you closer to God today than you've ever been? Or can you look back in your life and remember a time when you were closer to God than you are now? Can you remember a time when you were more excited about the things of God and being a Christian and having Jesus as your Savior? Can you remember a time when you were more excited about that than you are right now? I've asked that question, and some of you are thinking about where you're going to eat lunch.
That's right, brother.
Because you could care less where you are spiritually. And you're never going to move on that scale till you get concerned. And most of us don't get concerned till we're in trouble. Wouldn't it be a good idea to evaluate ourselves? Man, when I worked for the Board of Education, Brother Clint, I don't know where you at. We worked there together, Brother Randy, and I don't know if they still do it, but once a year they had evaluation. Y'all still do that? Stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. My only negative I ever got was late. How many times have I been late? They recorded it. They kept up with it. By the way, God's recording it too. But they would evaluate our performance as an employee. And they had this little checklist of everything. They'd go down through there and they'd check this and they'd check that. Why don't we evaluate ourselves this morning? Where are you spiritually? On a scale from 1 to 10, find you a number. If it's not 10, we need to be an altar. Are we okay? Remember, I can't be your judge. You can fool me. You can even fool yourself. But you cannot fool God. I woke up with this thing burning in my mind this morning, and I stood in the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I looked at the biggest problem in my life. And then I shaved it. I can point at everybody else and say, that's my problem, that's my problem. No, this is my problem. But I got to be honest about the problem and say, man, I'm way down here. I ain't nowhere near where I ought to be. Man, I remember when I was on fire for God. I remember when I was excited about the cause of Christ. I remember when sin broke my heart. And now it doesn't bother me anymore. Where are you spiritually? Where are you? First question in the Bible. Let me show you another one. Genesis chapter number 32. Keep your Bibles out this morning. Genesis. I'm watching the time. It's almost 11 o'clock in Alabama. Hey, we're just four exits away. Genesis chapter number 32. Bring you up to speed here before we read the question. Jacob, the man in the story, has a twin brother whose name is Esau. Esau. Jacob, whose name means cheater, liar, con, trickster, that's who Jacob was. And his character fit his name. He stole his brother's birthright. He stole the father's dying blessing. When his daddy is on his deathbed, he disguises himself because his brother was hairy, and he put goat skins on his arms, and he goes in and he asks for the dying blessing. The firstborn, which was Esau, was supposed to get the blessing rightfully. But Jacob goes in, he sends Esau out deer hunting, and he comes. Esau was a real man. How do you know? He was deer hunting while Sissy Jacob was in the kitchen with Mama. Real men shoot deer, amen. That's what I'm trying to get at. Say amen, Johnny. Hey. Jacob devises this plan, or his mama does, to go in and fool his dad and make his dad think that he's Esau and ask for that elder brother's blessing. He disguises himself and he goes in and he asks for the blessing. His daddy is now blind and dying. And his daddy said, you sound like Jacob. He said, here, touch me and feel me. He said, oh, you feel like Esau. And he blessed him. And Mama said, Esau's done got word of what you've done, and he's going to whoop you. This is in the redneck version. He's going to beat you till the smoke alarm goes off. You better get out of town. I'll send word when everything's good. So Jacob's on the run. And while Jacob's on the run, he has a meeting with the Lord. And there in that meeting with the Lord, he gets in a wrestling match with God. You got to picture this thing in your head. Jacob's got a hold of God, and God said, let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not letting you go. Do you bless me? I'm not letting go. God said, let me go. He said, not to you, but let me go. Not to. Can you picture that? Here is a man literally in a wrestling match with God. You say, boy, I wouldn't do that. Some of you doing it right now. Some of you going to fight God all the way through the altar call. God said, let me go. Jacob said, no, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Now watch this. Verse number 27. Right in the middle of the fight, the Lord said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Right in the middle of the fight, God calls a timeout. Jacob's got a hold of God, and he's saying, God's saying, let me go. And Jacob's saying, I'm not letting go till you bless me. And God says, wait a minute, time out. Who are you? First question, where are you? Second question, who are you? Who are you? Do you think for a second God didn't know who Jacob was? Come on, talk to me. God knew exactly who he was, but he wanted Jacob to understand who he was. But this time, the who are you is not coming from a blind, dying daddy. The who are you is coming from the God of heaven, who was in no way confused about who he was. He didn't just see him, he saw through him. He said, what is your name? And for the first time in this boy's life, he's honest with himself and he's honest with God. God said, who are you? And I can just picture As Jacob's holding on to God, begging for a blessing, I can see his old head drop. He said, I'm Jacob. I'm a cheater. I'm a con. I'm a liar. That's who I am. And you know what God said? Not anymore. Not anymore. We're going to call you no more Jacob. You can read the next verse. We're not going to call you Jacob anymore. We're going to call you Israel. God said, since you've been honest with yourself and since you've been honest with me about who you are and what you are, I'm changing your name from cheater to prince. Are you listening? For 19 years of my life, well, not really 19. I thought I got saved as a six-year-old boy, and I didn't. I went to altar on a double dog dare. I'm serious heart attack. Brother Ed Ballou was preaching. Roger Bush said, I dare you go to the altar. I said, I ain't going. You go. He said, I double dog dare you. I had to. I prayed the prayer the deacons told me to pray. Mama shouted. I got baptized. I thought that was it. Till I was 19 years old, Brother Robbie, I was a member of the White Oak Springs Baptist Church. And if somebody asked me who I was, in other words, if they asked me who I was spiritually, if I was saved, you know what I'd say? I'm Sandra White's son. My mama's the top bus captain in the state of Georgia. And was for years. She was out doing Curtis Hudson and them over at Forest Hills, I'm telling you, in Paulding County, before the boom growth. Running buses up and down dirt roads. That's my mama. My mama's a spiritual hero. Of course I'm saved. Who are you? Who are you? Are you just a member at Happy Valley Baptist Church? Are you just some preacher's son or some deacon's son or some Sunday school teacher's child? Hey, I'm asking you this morning, are you a child of God? Answer the question in your heart. If you fell over graveyard dead right now, could I tell your family without a doubt that you're in heaven? You say, I don't believe you can know that. Well, according to this book, you can. John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Salvation is not a hope-so thing. It's not a maybe-so thing. It's a know-so thing. I don't know a whole lot. I don't know if it's ever going to stop raining. I started watching, I got the Weather Channel app on my phone. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm standing on my porch, Brother William, looking at it, and it shows a big sun right there, and I'm looking out across the backyard, and this ain't where I live. This must be down in Miami or somewhere like that. It ain't here. I don't know. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know if the sun's going to shine. I don't know if it's going to rain. I don't know if my house is going to float off down the power lines. I ain't got a clue. I know this. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. If my son preaches my funeral, and by the way, I want you to, if my son preaches my funeral tomorrow, he don't have to question where daddy's at. He can look over this pulpit and stare down in that box at my cold dead face and say, daddy ain't in there. That ain't got nothing to do with daddy right there. That's just what I remember. Daddy's in heaven. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to obligate yourself. What do you mean, preacher? You ought to obligate yourself to tell somebody verbally in your family today, just in case something happened. I want you to know I'm in heaven. Yes, sir. Hey, teenager, listen to me. Look at your mom and daddy and say, look, if I get killed in a car wreck, I want you to know I'm saved. Yes. Adam, where are you? Jacob, who are you? I'm glad as a 19-year-old boy, I jumped off that church membership bandwagon. And we already talked about him this morning, Brother Jason's daddy. I wasn't at church like most people. Y'all get tired of hearing this, but I don't get tired of telling it. It's my favorite story in all the world. I like it better than Easter. I like it better than Christmas because it's my story. I was at a New Year's Eve party, playing bluegrass music, drinking. Boy, it got quiet in here. Somebody said, God won't save a drunk. He did this one. Amen. Amen. I know another one too. Oh, Sergeant York. Mail Trotter. There's another one. Over and over. Somebody, God won't save you till you sober up. No, he saved me and sobered me.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yes, sir.
I went to the preacher's house at 3 o'clock in the morning, beat on his door. Jason was a little bitty boy. Can you imagine that? And had hair on top of his head. Preacher come to the door in his boxer drawers and a wife beater t-shirt. I'm standing there, tears running down my face. And he always called me Doc. Put me on a bus when I was 4 years old and took me to church. He opened my door and he said, Doc, what's the matter? I said, Brother Jay, I'm going to hell. I'll never forget his answer. He said, not tonight, you ain't. We got down to his front yard under an old loblolly pine tree. Woo! And God changed my name. For the first time in my life, Brother William, I was honest with myself and I was honest with God. And God said, who are you? I said, I'm a sinner. He said, not no more. He said, henceforth, we're going to call you no more sinner, but saint. Where are you? Spiritually, where are you? You have the ability to change that. You know that? You don't have to stay in your condition. You can move up. Who are you? Are you saved? I'm going to leave a couple of these out. Let's go to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Y'all doing okay? Are you thinking a little bit? Are you thinking just a little bit? Who are you? Where are you? John chapter number 6. We've got the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Let's just read it. Verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went out over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, watch this, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Question number 1, where are you? Question number 2, from God to man, who are you? Question number 3. Actually 4. I skipped 3. But question number 3. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Jesus looks up and sees that multitude of people. 5,000 plus women and children. And it's supper time and Jesus looks at that crowd and he looks at his disciple and he says, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed this crowd? Now, watch it. I'm proving what I said in the beginning. God already knew the answer. God knew where that little boy was. God knew exactly what was fixing to transpire. He wanted to hear the disciples' response to the question, what are we going to do? You know what they did? They started looking around at what they had. Correct answer should have been, you the one walking on water. You're the one turning water into wine. You tell me what we're going to do. When God asks us, when that question comes to us, what are you going to do? You ever had your wife look at you and say, what are we going to do? Anybody? And you're supposed to have the answer, right? When you've got more bills than you do paycheck. Honey, what are we going to do? My honest answer is, I don't know. I ain't got a clue. Correct answer would have been, we're counting on you, Lord. We're counting on you. We find ourselves in a difficult spot, in a hard position, in a trial of our life, and we start questioning, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Is that close?
Yes,
trust God. Trust the Lord. What are we going to do? Trust God. There is not a problem you cannot trust Him with. I would like in, was it 2000? The Y2K crash? Yeah, the year 2000. All these preachers writing books, what to do in case of the Y2K. We ought to sue them.
Amen.
Seriously, we ought to sue them. It was a racket. Charlatans making money off God's people. If I'd have wrote a book, it would have been one page. See Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. We're going to trust God's what we're going to do. Somebody asked me, said, are you buying up bulk toilet paper and baked beans? And all? I said, foot, no. If the computers crash, I'll just walk in the store and get it. I have a gun. I'm not going to starve. I can eat. In case of that kind of thing, rednecks be the only people that survive. We can kill and eat. Amen. People in the church were seriously, I mean seriously asking me, preacher, what do we do? What do we do? And my honest answer, the only thing I knew to tell them, we're just going to have to trust God. We're just going to have to trust God. You listen to the talk radio, this bunch is all fired up about this election. Oh, the course of our country. Blah, 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 blah. Trust God, man. He got us here. He can get us there. What are we going to do? Well, he's a kid over here with a Happy Meal. And then they ask him a question. What is it amongst so many? All we're going to do if we break this out, we're going to start a fight. That would like, that'd be like setting down one bowl of banana pudding in the middle of a Baptist church. Oh, man, it'd be helter-skelter, son. I mean, it'd be on like Donkey Kong, wouldn't it? What is it amongst so many? Watch what he said. Give it to me. Lord, this is all we have. There's probably 10, 15,000 people here, Lord. This is it. This is all we got. He said, I'll tell you what, dude. Give me what you got.
Amen.
The Bible said he blessed it.
Amen.
And fed that whole crowd.
Amen.
And then took up 12 baskets of leftovers.
Amen.
What are you saying? I'm saying little is much.
Yes.
When God is in it.
Amen.
Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame.
Amen.
There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
Quit fretting over what you don't have. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, strengthen that which remaineth. Give God what you got. You say, well, I don't tithe and I don't give because it wouldn't make a difference. Try him. Try him. God's math, 2 + 2 ain't 4. It's like 8. I like his math, Levi, way better than mine. Are you listening? Who are you? Adam, where are you? Disciples, what are we going to do? Serious questions, would you agree? I'm almost done. Go with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Y'all still doing all right? Listen, I'm going to hold you long enough for the Methodist to get out of the way at the buffet, okay? And when you get there, it'll all be fresh, all right? John chapter number 21. The Lord has been crucified. He's risen. Simon Peter's aggravated because his Savior is dead. All his hopes, his King of Kings, his Lord of Lords, is in the grave. Peter says to the disciples, I'm going fishing. Now, he didn't mean like me and Cade would get in the boat and go over at Brother Anthony's and catch a bass. That ain't what he meant. Peter said, I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to my old way of living. I'm going back to fishing. Now, the Bible said earlier when the Lord found Simon Peter, the Bible said that he forsook his nets. When we got saved, we forsook some things. We walked away from some things. But Peter, for a moment, says, I'm going back to what I left. That'd be like backsliding as a Christian. I'm going back the old way. Now, we know the story. They've been fishing all night. By the way, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And a disciple says, we also go with thee. You don't ever walk away from God by yourself. You'll take your children. You'll take your wife. You'll take your family. You might even take some other church members. Misery loves company. They've been fishing all night long. They ain't caught nothing. Peter's naked. Why, I do not know. I don't even know why I mentioned that, but it's in there. Verse number 5, there's a stranger standing on the shore. They ain't got a clue who it is. You and I know it's Jesus. It's the risen Savior. John says, hey, Pete, there's somebody on the bank. He said, I don't give a rip. I can just see Peter and his attitude. Peter, there's somebody on the shore. I don't care. Keep pulling that net. We got to catch some fish. We got to make some money. Yeah. Pull, boy, pull. Yeah, but Peter, I think he's talking to us. What's he saying? Look at verse number 5. Here's the question. Children, have ye any meat? You know what that translates to? Hey, Peter, how's it going? You're going back to what you forsook. You're not going to serve me. You're not going to preach. You're going to go back to fishing for a living. How is it treating you? How are you doing? You ask that question, survey says, number one answer, oh, good, doing great. People will lie to you. I like it when people are honest. I ain't doing good, preacher. I'm struggling. Okay, I can pray for you. Peter, how are you doing? How's it going? How's that old way of life treating you? You want to get lied to? Ask a fisherman about his catch. I caught a bass the other day. I pulled it out of the water. The water went down 2 foot. Took a picture of him. Picture weighed 8 pounds. Scaled him. Had enough scales to shingle 2.5 houses. How big was that fish? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Peter, how you doing? How's that fishing game treating you? Peter said, we've toiled all the night. Be honest with you, Lord, we fished all night long and ain't caught nothing. But listen, they're not fishing with a Zebco 33. They're casting a net. Again, the law of averages would tell you they would have at least caught a little one. They didn't catch nothing. I believe it's Jesus' fault. I believe he's standing on the bank saying, fish that way. Fish that way. He purposely let him fail. Why? So that he would realize he needed that risen Savior. You say, well, I used to go to church and I used to be at Faithful and I used to be involved and I used to do that. We knock on more doors and people say, I've heard it a million times. We used to. We used to. There's more has-been Christians out there than you can shake a stick at. Oh, I remember we used to. I've knocked on doors. There's one guy in a subdivision right down the street here told me, he said, I used to go to church. I was a youth pastor. I said, you surrendered to preach? Oh, yeah. Why ain't you going now? Well, the church split and the preacher did this and blah, 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 and we got hurt and well, how's this old life treating you? How are you doing? man looked me in the face and he said, I'm miserable. A backslid Christian's not a happy person. If you're backslid and you're happy, you're not saved. Are y'all listening? If you're not serving God and you're loving life, something's wrong. I'm telling you, man, on some of these weeks when I'm home and not traveling, it kills me. I mean, I love being home and I love being my wife. There's something inside me, man, wanting to, I got to preach. I started to stay home this morning. My head, I woke up, I'm doing better now. Preaching helps, amen. I woke up, I felt so bad, I started to call Levi and Brother Freddie and Brother Charles and say, hey, I ain't cutting it this morning. There's something inside me. And there ought to be something inside you. How are you doing? How are you doing? Where are you spiritually? Who are you spiritually? What are you going to do when trouble comes? And how are you doing where you are? How are you doing playing with your sin? Your little pet sin. It's like a puppy. I see these people walking around. Oh, I got to be careful. Them stupid pit bulls on the log chain. I got a neighbor that's got one. I told him, it comes in my yard. It's dead. Oh, he wouldn't bite a flea. That's what they all say. Till they eat their children. Well, he's never even growled at anybody. It's his nature. They walk around. I was in the Walmart parking lot the other day. Anytime he's up, anybody up there giving away, I'm a sucker. I see them giving away animals. I got to go look. I went over and they had them silver colored, beautiful little pit bull puppies. I told that little girl, I said, can I hold one? She said, yeah. And I held that cutest little old thing. You know what you do when you get a puppy? You start petting that thing. Yeah. It's like sin. Harmless. Wouldn't hurt a fly. If it bites you, it don't hurt.
Come on, preacher.
And you get petting that thing. You see it every day. Amen. And because you see it every day, because it's in your face every day, you don't realize it's getting bigger. And one day you're petting that puppy, but it's no longer a puppy. It's a full-grown pit bull, and it bites your face off.
Yeah, that's right.
And you don't understand why. Are you listening?
Yeah.
That's sin. We get that little sin in our life, and it's not hurting me. It's not hurting nobody else. But that thing's growing, 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 growing. We all right? Last question, I'm done. Where are you, Adam? Who are you, Jacob? Disciples, what are we going to do? Peter, how are you doing? Last question, and it's also to Peter. Look at John chapter 21. John chapter number 21, same chapter. We were in verse number 5. Now, he asked him, have you any meat? How are you doing? And they said, we ain't got nothing. They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. They were honest with God. They cast and they caught. They get to the shore, and Jesus has already been doing some fishing himself because he's got them a meal cooked, a fish and honeycomb. They get to the bank with their boatload of fish. Look at verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, here's the question, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse number 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter gets aggravated. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Three times In three verses, Jesus Christ asked Simon Peter the same question. Peter, do you love me? Now you'll get some of them scholars, them Greek readers, and they'll tell you that there's three different meanings there. There's agape and phileo love. I can disprove that bunch of junk so fast it'd blow your mind. Amen. Don't let nobody feed you that garbage. Yeah. Jesus asked him the exact same question three times. Can it be this simple? I think it can. Yeah. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Of course, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. In essence, what Jesus is saying, why are you fishing if you love me? Why have you went back to your old way of life if you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? All three times, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Question? What is the question? Will you serve me? Do you love me more than these? All my life, reading that, knowing that, hearing that story and reading that verse, I always thought, Brother Freddie, he was talking about the disciples. I always thought Jesus was saying, do you love me more than these guys? I don't think so. The ground under Peter's feet is covered in fish. To Peter, those fish translate into shekels, money. I think what Jesus is saying is, Peter, do you love me more than this old way of life? Is making money more important to you than serving me? Somebody help me this morning. Peter, will you serve me? Will you give up what you have and follow me? Remember, I told you, if any man follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Peter, you're going to have to forsake this again. Yeah. Have you ever forsaken anything more than once? I have over and over. I've asked God to forgive me of the same sin over and over and over. Just keep asking until you get victory over it. Yeah. We okay? Will you serve me? Can I ask you a question? If you're saved this morning, will you serve him? I got some preacher boys in here. I need one. I want to see how bad you want to preach. Sister Linda had over 30 kids last Friday night at RU, babysitting 30-something kids. We got a bunch of boys up here. She wants to split them up, boys and girls. They want a preacher to take the boys and preach to them while RU's going on. You give up your Friday night for Jesus? Yeah, but Friday night, it's on. Yeah, it's on up here too. Will you serve him? It got quiet, boy. God called me to preach. When you going to do it? Amen. Oh, Brother Eddie, if you just let me preach on Sunday night, I'd give you every Friday night. Woo, ain't no hands going up. Rubber's meeting the road. Will you serve him? What would you give up for Christ? Friday night? Seriously? I know people have given up their whole life. I'm thinking about Brother Doug Burton right now. Brother Doug Burton, worked for Toyota. Big Lexus. Thank you, Brother William. Even bigger than Toyota. Lexus. Made money. I'm talking about good money in San Diego, California. Prettiest place on the world you can live. Yeah. San Diego, California. It's 70 degrees in December. The beach. I mean, everything. Making money, nice house, nice cars. I mean, got it made. In a good church, he's there with Brother Fisher. I mean, man, he's got it made. And God says, Doug, would you go to Papua New Guinea and live in a jungle with malaria and no electricity and no indoor plumbing and preach to people who hate your guts? Friday night, seriously? Is it that tough? What if God asked you to do that? He told his little wife, Amy. Ain't it Amy? Yeah. He said, Amy, God's calling us to Papua New Guinea. You know what she said? I'm with you, babe. Wow. I'd like to know that I could be that obedient. That whatever God asked me to do, that I would simply do. What does God ask of you? We struggle with the little things. What if it was something big? Would you say yes to God? Miss Michelle, gonna give her testimony tonight. Upset her whole life, man. Got her kids, moved into a house, helping young women get off drugs. Man, what a blessing. God asked her to do something. She said, okay, I'll do it. Where are you spiritually? Are you right with God? I don't know that, but you do, if you'll be honest. Who are you? Are you a child of God? Do you know for a fact that you're saved? What are you going to do when trouble comes? Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to depend on Dr. Phil and Oprah? I've got a video on my phone. If I could figure out, Brother Scott, how to get it on the screen, I'd play it for you. Of Oprah Winfrey. That's the most godless woman alive. I wouldn't be taking her advice. Some of y'all ain't liking that. I'm telling you the truth. I'll play it for you. It ain't my words. It's out of her own mouth. Who you going to depend on when trouble comes? Mama ain't going to always be there. And then there's some needs in your life mama can't meet anyway. Mama can't forgive your sin. What are you going to do when trouble comes? How are you doing in your backslidden state? Will you serve me? Not me, him. Just simple questions. I hope you've answered them in your heart, honestly. Let's stand to our feet. Now look up here at me real good. Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song. Look at me real good. This little list of questions that I've just ran by you, it wasn't the preacher asking. It was the God of heaven. And by the way, just like every instance in this Bible that we've read this morning, he knew the answer. He knew the answer. John chapter number 5, he himself knew already in his heart what he would do. He knew. But the problem was they didn't know. So it's not me asking this morning, it's God. Would you be honest with him? Let's bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to revisit that first question just for a minute. Second question, excuse me. Who are you? Are you saved? If you died right now, are you 100% positive heaven would be your home? If you know without a doubt that you're saved, would you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. It's pretty much everybody. You can put them down. I wonder if there's one who'd be honest enough. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I won't call your name publicly. I'd just like to pray for you. You say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. And if you can really know, if you really can know where you're going to spend eternity, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Please pray for me. That I'd get that thing settled. Pray for me, preacher. Would you slip up your hand? Anybody? God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Remember, you got to be honest with yourself and you got to be honest with God. Don't ride that church membership straight to hell. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing that'll save your soul. Brother Eddie, pray for me. I'm not sure. Just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Anybody else? God bless you, ma'am. Preacher, pray for me. Boy, I don't want to die and go to hell. I need to get this settled in my heart. Just quickly, slip up your hand. Put it right back down. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for a good day. I know it's cloudy and stormy outside, but Lord, you sure have been real in here this morning. God, thank you for dealing with hearts and speaking to people this morning. Help us to answer these questions in our own life, honestly. And Lord God, if the answer's not what it should be, help us to get it to where it is. Lord, you saw every hand. You know every heart. Lord, don't let anybody leave lost this morning. Lord, help them this morning. Have your way in this invitation. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.